Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
Andy Jacobs.
Yeah, can we hear Andy through that mask? I think you need to take that off. Andy's wearing a big plastic mask. He's a bit COVID.
Welder's look.
Anyway, it was a bit of a welder's look. What do we do today? Matthew Hoggard joined us, former England bowler. He's got his own barbecue school.
Yeah.
And that led to a number of suggestions from the listeners on barbecue-related cricketers. So we'll bring you some of those. Will Mellor joined us, didn't he?
Manchester very passionate United. About United.
Oh, yeah. He's always very, very good. A Manchester United fan. Ben Littleton taught penalties. He wrote the book on penalties, and we noticed something in the Carabao Cup that we chatted about. And the clips of the midweek featuring the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, believe it or not.
That is well worth a listen.
Yeah. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And first of all, congratulations to Spurs. I thought they fully deserved the result last night.
For the second half, if not the first.
I just thought, you know, they had all the disadvantages. They were playing with a lesser team. They were playing with one day less rest, and they'd played it on Thursday as well. I thought, really, no excuse for Chelsea. They had all the play in the first half. It reminded me of Sarri. They just kept the ball and kept the ball, passed it backwards. And congratulations on getting rid of the one midfielder who passes it forward.
Yeah,
that was a good idea.
Funny,
isn't
you
it?
Said to me, we were having a bit of a conversation about it this morning. You said to me, I'm surprised he didn't play Barkley. And then, of course, I saw the news and sent you it and said, oh, he's gone on loan to Villa. No wonder he didn't play. But that's not played well with you, is it?
No, I think it's a big mistake. I think also, I just sense that there's something missing this year. Last year, Chelsea played with adversity of the ban and Hazard leaving, and they played with spirit, you know, and I think expectation is weighing very heavily this
because
season,
of the money that's been
the
spent.
Money that's been spent, and it's just not happening. Four games, four incredibly average performances. Yes, they could have won easily on Saturday. They could have won easily last night, but the same problems are still there. They're not putting their chances away, and they can't defend. There's always a goal there. They're never going to keep a clean sheet.
It's very early days for a guy who's going to get you a lot of goals in Timo Werner. I think he proved that last night. That wasn't an easy chance he put away.
But he missed about two more.
Yeah, he'll find his feet. Havertz is going to score goals.
Yeah, look, they might improve. It's early days. But the point of the matter is that I don't think Roman Abramovich spends $220 million to finish ninth, which is about where they're looking at the moment.
You think so?
Well, I can't see. I'm looking at other teams that are playing better than them. I counted it up, and there's at least nine teams playing better than Chelsea at this current point in time.
Again, you're betting in new players. I think you've got to give them a bit of a chance.
You have, but you know, I'm not the owner, and he's not an owner that's known for patience. He had a lot of patience last year because he didn't have any choice. I'm hoping, look, I want Frank Lampard to succeed. I hope he turns it around. He just as easily could.
Yeah.
But he's just as easily, you know, it could be a big problem. And he needs certain players back. And, you know, I just think it's a shame. There were lots of other players I would have put out on loan before Barkley. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I so much more enjoy watching my team on the front foot as well, rather than being
better.
So passive. And again, it made me realise something I felt all along, that first half performance, if that was a predominantly Tottenham crowd, if that was like 55,000 Tottenham fans and 7,000, they would have been on their case. There's no way you could play as passively as Tottenham did in that first half with a crowd in. And sometimes Jose likes to play that, and you know it's a luxury he has. We might come on to this a bit
they
later.
They look so much better, Tottenham, when they play on the front
foot. I know.
Always.
Which is why it's such a frustration.
But they look fitter. Despite the extra day, they look fitter than Chelsea at the end. And
I think they'd had such a rest in the first half. They only really had to go for 45 minutes.
Honestly, I mean, you know, look, it was you know, ultimately it was a poor performance from Chelsea. Yeah. They showed some stuff in the first half, but not, you know, they didn't really create much, you know, and you can see why they need Chilwell for 90 minutes. I mean, neither of the backups. I mean, Emerson, again, he just did exactly what, you know, just...
He went to sleep a bit on Lamella, didn't he?
You know, exactly. Yeah. Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. And although I'm surprised Eric Dier, when he ran off... I haven't seen any headlines. There's such an obvious headline, Eric Diarrhea.
But... Oh, no, it's done. Oh, it's been doing the rounds.
I haven't seen it.
I think, actually, our old mate Crackers was possibly first to it.
Well, it's funny, I wrote it down at the time.
Oh, so OK, well, everybody was... He may be first in print,
it's
but
a very obvious one, really.
Then it probably was up there about 2,000 times.
I think that's... all Jose's teams look better on the front foot. United, when they used to play, like, you know, passively, they looked terrible. When they didn't, they looked better. Chelsea, it's exactly the same thing. There's something about him. I don't know why he puts the handbrake on, because it's so clear. They look better when he takes it off and he lets them play.
You never sense that he is, just before they leave the dressing room, that he says, get into them early doors. Yeah. You know,
no, I think the sense for Tottenham is that they're going to have a very good season. They've got a very good manager, you know, and I think they've got Bale to come. If I was a Chelsea Spurs fan, I'd be a lot more optimistic than I would be if I was a Chelsea fan.
Wow.
You know, I really would. I think Chelsea fans are worried. I genuinely
think
they're worried. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they're really worried. I mean, there's all the usual, you know, give him time and don't worry about it and don't panic and all those types. You always get those and get behind the lads. You get all those. But I think a majority of them have not been impressed with what they've seen this season. It's early days, so let's see what happens.
Now, we're going to be carrying out a little bit of an experiment over the next 2 and a bit hours, Andy, because this afternoon I'm going to do a Jack Russell. I don't mean I'm going to do a wonderful watercolour of New Road or of you.
Yeah.
But the former England wicketkeeper, if you know him for various things, one, being a great wicketkeeper and fine cricketer, also being an artist, and a man that could eke out a tea bag for a test match.
Yes.
And he would hang it up with a little peg, and he'd make a tea bag last for a whole test match. Well, I quite favour a mint tea here at TalkSport.
Have we only got one bag?
Well, we've run out.
Yeah.
And I had one stray bag, which I was carrying around like some old nan. I got no idea why I had it. So what we've decided to do, I'm going to do a Jack Russell this afternoon. So I've got one on the go.
Yeah.
And it's of the pucker variety. It's it's their mixed mint tea. And I'm going to see if it will last three dips, if it will go in for three cups. What's it going to be like by the third cup?
Weak.
Think?
As good as us defending from set plays.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I'm sure we have spoken to our next guest about this subject before, but only in passing. But
yeah,
Andy, you
remember.
Tell me today that the former England bowler, Matthew Hoggard, has his own barbecue school.
It looks good.
Hoggy's Grill, it's called. So I didn't believe you at first. I went and checked it out, and sure enough, there it is. It's got its own website, and very good it looks too. I'm very pleased to say Matthew Hoggard joins us now. Good afternoon, Hoggy.
Good afternoon.
Yes, and so I think, I can't remember why we spoke about this in the past, but it wasn't quite as formal an arrangement. And we knew you were a big fan, but you've taken this on to another level, teaching people the skills.
Yeah, I've got to say, I retired in 2013, and I've tried my hand at different things in finance and insurance, and it just didn't work. And somebody said, you need to find something that you're passionate about. I said, what, like eating and drinking? I said, well, the things that I love and, you know, passionate about is cooking and open flames and fire and everything else. I said, well, there you go. Well, the idea was born maybe 4 years ago, and it's taken 4 years to find the right venue and to set it up. But and then COVID hit, so we've been in a very tricky situation to launch a new business in a very testing year for everybody.
Yeah, of course.
That's true. But then on the other hand, though, I mean, we have had a lot of outdoor living, so I'd imagine there's been quite a lot of interest in it.
Yeah, I've got to say, the grill side of things has gone out of the world. You can't get your hand on a grill. Everybody's sold out. Everybody's on back order. So the great news is that everybody stayed at home and spent money on their gardens, and that includes a grill. And now they need to know what they can actually do on their grill. They're not just limited to burgers and sausage and chicken.
Yeah. Now, you do a basics course as well, which I think is very important because, it's you know, people don't know the basics of good barbecuing, do they? And unless you get that right, like anything else, including cricket, you're not going to be able to sort of train on. So you do a basics course and you also do them for the kind of gourmets, the more advanced barbecuers.
Yeah, we do everything from how to make your perfect burger and make your own burgers rather than buy the pre-made stuff, to how to grill your chicken, to indirect cooking, to how to grill your lobsters on there, bake a cake on there, make Yorkshire puddings and all the rest of it. There's nothing you can't make on a grill that you can do in an oven.
And I noticed, looking at the website, that you very much seem to favour the charcoal, which I agree with 1,000,000%. I think it's much better than the gas-burning ones. I know they're more convenient, but is that how you feel about it?
I mean, I love charcoal. I love the flames, and I love the smell. I love the flame that it puts into your food. Yes, a little bit more tricky to learn how to control the temperature and make sure that you don't overheat. Make sure that you've got the right setup to the indirect cooking on a charcoal barbecue. Everybody sort of like puts all the charcoal all over the barbecue and tries to cook at the same temperature rather than setting different zones and different temps on the barbecue so they can cook things at different times. And when you get that flare up, what do? If you've got all the charcoal everywhere, you burn your food instead of being able to move it to the coal zone. And there's all different types of things that you can use. And then there's the ease and the Traeger wood pellet, or where you put your wood pellets in the barbecue. You can set it on the Wi-Fi, set it to your phone, and you can go off anywhere in the country, and you can control your barbecue from your phone.
That's amazing. And you cater for the non-carnivores as well, I see, Hoggy, don't you? You've got a veggie extravaganza.
Yeah, we've got the vegetables as well. We've got a cater for everybody. And you know, vegetables are very tasty. I love my veg. Yes, I like to put them next to meat. Well, for the people that don't want to put them next to meat, vegetables are very tasty, and I think they're absolutely stunning on a barbecue.
And are you doing these? If we come along, will we see you in action, or do you have a team?
You'll see me in action. I don't the apron. Put my ears up to the front and make sure that everybody's entertained and hopefully a little bit more educated when they leave.
Nice one. So you're in Rutland, we understand. Is that right? Is that where the base is? Yeah.
Yeah, we're at Rutland Water Nurseries. We overlook the water so you can see the water from where we're under cover in the polytunnel. So it's all around cooking. We'll be cooking on your Christmas turkeys and your hams and your beef, how to cook your Christmas turkey on the barbecue. We have some space.
We might need that this winter,
might need to be doing it.
That's going to be popular, I reckon.
And people go and check it out. Hoggiesgrill.com. All the details are there of the courses. And so they're going on currently, are they? Hoggy, we can sign up now.
I've got to say, we went live on Monday. We have 4 people booked in on Saturday. So there's still 6 places left on Saturday if people want to book to burial. But yeah, we've got a corporate event tomorrow. So we've got a company coming in to test how to make pre-packed food for a major supermarket. So it's all happening.
Sounds
brilliant.
Good.
Okay, Hoggy's Grill, go and check it out. While we've got you on, we didn't know this was going to break today, but it has, so we'll talk to you about it, about the central contracts. And the top line, of course, is that Johnny Bairstow has lost his Red Bull central contract. And it's, I mean, you've been in this situation, haven't you? It can't be easy, and it's often not easy on the counties, is it? Because they will be picking up the tab if you lose your central contract.
Yeah, obviously he's lost his Red Bull contract, but he's kept his White Bull contract. Mm. Obviously, I heard the news through TalkSport. I've only just heard the news, but yeah, it's a horrible situation for a player to be in. And we keep on asking the future of Test cricket, is White Bull going to take over? And if we lose a talent like Johnny Bairstow, I'm sure he's this type of character that will say, right, then I want to fight for my Red Bull place back. But if in reality, if he looks at things and says, do I want to turn up to a county fixture for 4 days with 200 people watching in early April where the ball's zipping around all over the place, it's freezing cold, or I said, you know what, I'm happy playing white ball cricket. I can go be a white ball cricketer in the Big Bash, in the IPL, in the Caribbean Central League, in the Pakistani League, and play white ball cricket for England. Why do I need to bother trying to get my red ball contract back? So whilst the worry about cricket and which way direction it's going to be heading and where it will be in 10 years' time.
Yeah, that's a good point, Hoggy. He'll be tempted, but Besto seems to me the type of bloke that will fight.
I think it'll bother him this, won't it?
Yeah, I think so. So hopefully. Tell you also, you've written a lot about the pressures of playing cricket and retiring from cricket and spoken about it. And there have been a couple of documentaries this summer, The Edge and also The Test, really have shown the fans what it's like inside a cricket dressing room. It's quite a pressurised place, I'd say.
It is, but again, elite sport is like that. People that get to the highest level, they are going to be judged, and they're going to be judged by everybody that are a fan and watch cricket or watch their sport. And there's a reason you got to the top, is that because you have what it takes to get there. But the mental side of things, that everybody and their dog has a right to an opinion of how you're playing, is quite scary. Because, yes, you've got the skill.
Oh, we lost him. Oh, he's just dropped off. Anyway, we were running out of time, sadly. He was, I think, he was done. But it does look like a lot of fun, this. Go and check it out. Yeah. Hoggiesgrill.com. They're all COVID safe, of course. Go and check that out. Good luck with the business. If he's still listening to us, we wish
you
well.
You can have a go at barbecue cricketers if you like, and then you come up with
barbecue cricketers. What did you come up with?
Dennis Grilly. I did have MS Donna, but I'm not sure.
You could do kebabs on there. You could do. Do you want barbecue based cricketers, dear?
Yeah, give it a go.
Okay, I'll take your mind off Chelsea. You're doing him a service. You'll cheer him up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We spoke to Matthew Hoggard about his barbecue school when you were trying to think of cricketers.
Yes,
with a bit of a barbecue feel.
Yeah.
And you gave us Dennis Grilly. That was it. That's all we had.
That's all I had.
Den gives us Alan Lamb and Mint Burger.
Terrible.
Very good. You'd have that on your barbecue. Lance Spare Ribs. That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Jeffrey Boychop.
That's
says
rubbish.
George, thank you very much.
Well done, George. Go on. Of a certain vintage, I'd say. Yeah. No Lance Gibbs.
We can probably guess his age. Joe Root Veg. I mean, on a barbecue.
Oh, I
Root
think that's
veg.
Really I stretching mean, it, isn't it?
I don't know. There's a stewards on that one.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Clips of the Week.
Well, not really. They were the clips of the week in September 2007. As we've been telling you, some old mini discs emerged in the move to the new premises a year or so. And we've just not got round to doing anything about them. But in amidst the virus.
There must be a lot of them, though. I didn't know they went up to 2007. Because we've gone back to 2003, we've had 2006.
So these have been digitised.
Lovely.
Allowing us to bring them to you again off these old mini discs. And we've not heard them since 2007, so we're looking forward to it, especially as the Prime Minister, then an occasional stand-in for the great James Whale, is part of this today. So anyway, off we go. We kick off with Andy Townsend and Mike Parry previewing the 2007 Rugby World Cup with our old mate Rodri Williams.
It's going to be a great World Cup. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting. Well, it is going to be the most exciting World Cup since it was since it first started in 1987. Because I think there are more teams now who really believe they can make the quarterfinal spots. Whereas years ago, some of the smaller nations would have looked at it and thought, "Well, you know, if we can win a game, it'll be fine."
Yeah.
But you know, the likes of Fiji, who are now much better at the 15-man game, Canada can be strong. We'll be looking at certain games and thinking,
"Fantastic strides, Canada."
He certainly hasn't got a clue, Rodri, has he?
Absolutely not.
Andy Townsend speaking for the nation. He hasn't got a clue, has he?
Yes, it was Parry's best.
Absolutely brilliant. Okay.
Here's our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. Now.
Yeah, that one.
Standing in for James Whale, the great James Whale, setting up the main subject of the show.
Hi, good evening. It's Boris Johnson, and I'm standing in here for James Whale on the Talk Sport James Whale show. I'm the third guest presenter to take over this week, and it's a great joy and honour to be here. Now, our first subject is a very difficult and controversial subject. You may have heard us talking about it just now. We're talking about the huge problem.
On 1089 and 1053 AM.
There we are.
He's a great ad-libber, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, tremendous. It was tremendous. Yeah, not much has changed. Later in the show, Boris couldn't work out why nobody had called in yet.
Is anybody ringing in yet? They don't seem to be doing that. Listen, there's a mass apathy out there. Get off your couches and ring in.
Give out a number.
Give out a number, yeah. Good, very good idea. We've got to give out a number. Let me give you the number you've got to call. Where's the number?
It's there, down there, though.
07, yeah. What do you mean?
All right.
08717-223344.
Oh, yes, Prime Minister now.
Oh, for goodness sake. How did he get
running there? The country.
Honestly, Ash, brilliant there, wasn't
it? Yeah, Ash was having none of it, wasn't he? Wouldn't be any different. He should have Ash as in the
cabinet.
Better
than Cummings.
Yeah, he'd be fantastic. Ash would be brilliant.
Does he get his coat on?
Yeah. Certainly far more laid back in the old cabinet meetings, wouldn't they? Anyway, back to Mike Parry now.
Knowledge is a powerful weapon, and those who do not have knowledge feel that they have been pushed out of society into the dark reaches of ignoramus land. Ignoramy land.
Oh, of course. Ignoranus land, you of course, ignorani land.
Yeah. Staying with Mr. Parry. Mr. Brazil must have been on holiday. Staying with Mr. Parry, here he is with another of his hot takes.
The dead aren't actually affected by death, apart from the fact that they've lost their life, if you see what I mean.
He knows that's a clip.
That kind of incredible original thinking is still available, we should point out, every weekend, every Saturday on Talk Radio for 2 hours. He's bonkers. 5:30, there you go. Some sports news now that had England fans worried ahead of the crucial 2008 European Championship qualifiers.
England coach Steve McClaren's being forced to wait on the outcome of the thigh injury that he picked up in training yesterday.
Didn't stop him standing up holding that umbrella. That's Lindsay Hooper, isn't it? Lindsay, I think it is.
It may well
be. Yeah, it sounded like it.
Yeah, I think you're doing a good spot there.
A sports show. I could be wrong, but there we are.
No, I think you're right. Here's a guest to Keith Arthur's Fisherman's Blues.
A bloke I know told me that he was on a stretch of water and a pole came down there and killed a 9-pound barbel, chopped his head clean off.
Blimey. Fish decapitation.
That's a bit off, isn't it?
Wow, not about that. Blimey. So, is it me? I think it is.
That was a bit politically incorrect. Yeah. Number 7.
To Alan Brazil now, making his French guest feel welcome.
What about the French? Let's cross over now and let's say a very good morning to RMC Radio Chief, rugby broadcaster Laurent Dupree. Laurent, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to France.
Oh, I love France, Laurent. Merci, Maribel, Courcheval, Trebon. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Was he Laurent? Was he Lorraine? Or was he Laurent? Or was he Low Rent? I've got no idea. We didn't listen to the whole interview.
Staying with Big Al. And it turns out he does struggle with those English names.
Why on earth didn't England manager, back to the emails, pick Villa's Abongla... Well, I can't even say his name right. Gabriel Abongla.
He'll be chuffed, won't he, Gabby? He's on the station quite a lot.
Yeah,
man.
I know. I hope he does breakfast with Alan. Worth a few clips.
Didn't we have one with Alan the other week? Nothing's changed, has it, really? Back to Andy Townsend during a paper review, and we think this might be the exact definition of it's like getting blood from a stone.
Also, looking at the pull-out in the paper today, score, you got everything covered there from front to back, yes?
Yep.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, thanks. Everything's covered. Feel free to expand on it and sell a few copies of your paper.
It's Lisa O'Sullivan now with news of an Arsenal goal.
Arsenal have the lead against Portsmouth at the Emirates Stadium. Emmanuel Adebayor putting them ahead after a penalty with a spot kick from the penalty spot.
Well, that's the best place to take him from. Place to take him from. You're pushing your luck otherwise. And finally, Graham Beecroft chatting to his co-host, Alan Brazil.
Does he?
He's not slow coming forward the old dough. I'm up in
Where
Newcastle.
Was he? Buffalo Joe's or something?
Well, he was in a couple of them. The Blue Bimbo.
The Blue what?
The Blue Bimbo.
What's a bimbo?
Oh, Blue... Oh, no, is it the Blue Bamboo? Sorry.
Not the Blue Bimbo.
The Blue Bimbo's at Blue Bamboo. So there we are. September 2007. Who thought it, eh? Blimey.
Good lordy.
Boris. Yeah. See if we can find it. Was that a one-off? I sense it might have been from Ash's attitude.
I feel quite encouraged. I thought I was a bad presenter, but have you heard that?
Well, you are.
I know.
Yeah. Let me just spell that out.
Well, that's very true.
But, yeah. I mean, it was probably his first shift, wasn't it?
Oh, he was terrible.
Have I got news for you off, did it? Or indeed, the country.
No.
So, you also told us, I'll tell you what, we'll come back to these. We'll do a couple. Andy, we spoke to Matthew Hoggard, who's got his own barbecue score. So Andy got a bit puntastic and gave us, what did you go with? Your
Dennis
first
Grilly.
Dennis Grilly.
This one's better from Michael in London, though.
Rory burns the sausages, says Daz, the tricky tree. Chris Smokes, says Ian. Shane Warm. He's not sure about that. No. Sam Grillings, says
That's
Michael
good.
In London. Michael Athertongs, says Ian in Leeds. That's good.
Daniel Bell Drumstick's quite good.
Very good. That's from Chris. Justin Banger.
That's all right.
That's good. That's from Dan. Darren Gofter. That's good, isn't it? I'm cooking
Stretching
the old gofters on the barbecue. And there's a lot of, we've had quite a few Adam Grillchrists. One, I think, from Phil in Belfast, and Ross and Joe driving up the A19. They went with Frying Lara. Not bad.
No, really.
AB de Grilliers, somebody gives us as well.
Good.
That's good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're going to talk a bit of football now and penalties in empty stadiums. We saw last night... Nine of the 10 penalties put away with aplomb, as I believe they say in football circles.
They
were
really
good pens.
Virtually unsavable. I thought Lloris got quite near Jorginho's, but apart from that, they were all brilliant.
Yeah.
That one amounts, obviously, wasn't that brilliant.
Yeah. Well, we had, and even that hit the post. I mean, it wasn't a complete duffer, was it? I was expecting Lucas's to end up somewhere in Bruce Grove
Ice Cream. I thought Kante would take one. I said to my son, he's going to hit that golden cockerel on the roof that you were walking about the other day.
And then we saw Bournemouth play Palace, didn't we, last week? 11-10 on penalties.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point you made there.
Yeah, and you do think, does that make a difference? That there's no pressure of the crowds there. I mean, like Lee Mason last night, they tossed the coin to see which end you take the penalties. I thought, what's the point?
Who cares?
It doesn't make any difference. Yeah, it's all true. In front of our... No, we're not.
Yeah,
Ben Littleton, of course, is the man to speak to. He's the author of 12 Yards, the definitive work on penalties.
Just before we speak to Ben, I just want to clear something up. Was that crowd noise being played into the stadium?
No, it's only played on TV. It's not being played into the stadium.
Because some grounds are doing it. I've been watching, you know, the channel without sound. So I tried that last night, and it had the sound on it. And I noticed the crowd were all Spurs. It was all Spurs songs, and I just wondered.
Well, I don't know, but as far as I know, that's all just been played over TV. There have been some clubs that are doing it. We spoke to the company that are pumping it into stadiums. Weren't QBR doing it? One or two others?
I just wondered if they could do it for the
Carabao Cup.
Anyway,
back to pens. Yeah. Good afternoon, Ben.
Hello, guys.
Has this struck you as you were sitting there watching the nine last night and the sort of, what was it, 21 last week?
Well,
I mean, what struck me, Paul, is that you would definitely be trying to find an explanation for a Spurs penalty shootout victory.
Yeah, that's right. I need to reason it out, otherwise exactly. I'll be in trouble.
Exactly. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense at all. And also, a Jose Mourinho penalty shootout victory, because this is his first victory in a shootout as a coach of an English club. He'd lost his previous seven.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Which is really quite surprising. And I always find that the more we obsess about how detailed and brilliant a coach is, the less they seem to care about penalty shootouts, and the more they say it's a lottery, because Pep has the same problem. He's often losing, or his teams are often losing shootouts. And, you know, everyone goes on about how obsessive he is. And I think often coaches don't, you know, go that extra 1% or 2% to help improve their chances. And interestingly, Andy, what you said about the crowd noise is also relevant to penalties, because in Brazil, they play fan noise, which you can hear inside the stadium. And earlier this season, there was a shootout between two teams in Brazil, Palmeiras and Corinthians. And it was at Palmeiras. And every time a Corinthians player was about to take a penalty, the Palmeiras DJ basically turned up the crowd noise as loud as it could.
Wow, brilliant.
To try and distract the players. And it worked. They lost the shootout.
Wow.
So if the crowd noise is being filtered through the stadium, and you can hear it in the stadium, that can actually work to the team's advantage as well.
It would make sense, though, wouldn't it, that there'd be less pressure on the players walking up to take a penalty when there is no crowd there. It's much more... They always talk about the visualising and making it feel like it's a training session. Well, that's a lot easier when it feels like a training session.
Well, I think that's absolutely right when it comes to players who are used to taking penalties in training sessions and are not used to taking penalties in normal matches and normal situations. But I think for players who are regular penalty takers, who thrive off the pressure of having a huge audience and actually enjoy that, I think it can be quite difficult. I mean, Bruno Fernandes, in one of the first games back in an empty stadium, actually at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, scored a late penalty, surprise, surprise, through VAR and for Manchester United against Spurs. And he was asked, oh, you know, what was it like taking a penalty in an empty stadium? And he said, oh, you know what, I actually prefer it when there are more people watching, because I play better when I'm under pressure. And the player who missed the decisive penalty for Crystal Palace last week was Luka Milivojevic, whose record in penalties before then was, I think, 21 out of 21 in the Premier League. And he had spoken before that game, I hasten to add it was before, not after, just saying, you know, it's going to be a bit weird taking penalties in front of an empty crowd, in an empty stadium. I'm not used to it. You know, I'm used to doing it in front of a crowd. And he actually did score a penalty in that shootout right at the beginning, but it was second time round. But I was quite interested that someone who scores so regularly did actually miss a decisive penalty in this situation. So I think it's too early to say definitively that it's helping one way or the other, but it is certainly interesting to watch them.
I think, I don't know how many penalties there have been this year, but it seems to me that there's been more. Obviously, we've seen all these handball penalties, but there do seem to be quite a lot in virtually every game.
Yeah, the VAR, I think it's the fact they're going to the monitors and they're prepared to change their mind.
16 pens in 23 games, I think I had heard on Saturday during commentary, which does seem a lot. But you mentioned Pep there, and his approach to penalties. I've noticed this in the past. His approach is, I'm very superstitious, so I'm not going to watch them.
Yeah.
Which is so alien.
That's never a good sign, if you ask me. But I think that he is such a disciple of Johan Cruyff that he gets his ideas about penalties from Cruyff. And Cruyff famously hated penalties. Now, everyone has seen the penalty that he took with Jesper Olsen where he passes it. But that, in a way, is just representative of the fact that he really didn't like penalties in their truest form, because they don't rely on intuition or skill or creativity. They're really basic form of of scoring that doesn't appeal to his kind of aesthetic side. So Cruyff was very anti-penalties, another reason why the Dutch traditionally used to struggle at penalties. Cruyff actually once said he preferred the noise of the ball hitting the crossbar from a penalty rather than it hitting the back of the net. I mean, that's how much of an aesthete he was. I think Pep has a bit of that in him as well. I just think he thinks that somehow penalties are not a fair part of the game. And he has been stung by penalties many times, especially in the Champions League. Aguero missed a penalty for City against Spurs and right at the beginning of that very dramatic quarter-final they had in 2019. But also he's lost shootouts at Bayern and at Barcelona through penalties.
Frank Lampard, they talked to him afterwards the game last night and asked him whether he'd got the penalty taker sorted out. He said, oh yeah, we'd prepared for pens and we had the penalty taker sorted out. But I wonder if he was thrown because Timo Werner was obviously down to take one but had bad cramp and didn't feel he should.
I think Mount would have taken one anyway even if it hadn't been, you know, if Werner had taken one. So.
Yeah, but that means he wasn't prepared, Paul. I mean, being prepared is not having a plan A. Being prepared is having a plan A, a plan B and a plan C. And this is something that I often talk to coaches about, which is, I know who my top five penalty takers are, but at the end of a game, and normally at the end of 120 minutes, last night it was only 90, you know, anything can change. A player could be sent off, a player could be injured. So you need to know not just your top five, but at least your top seven or eight, and they should know as well what order they'll be taking it, because you want to take as much decision-making away from the players in that pressure moment as you can.
Good stuff. Interesting as always, man. Good to talk to you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The virus has made us realise even more that how we have to cherish our local, really. Times are tough for our local pubs at the moment, even more so now they're having to close at 10 o'clock. So here to big up, as I believe the kids may have said about 12 years ago, the local pub is actor and Manchester United fan, Will Mellor. Good afternoon, Will.
Good afternoon, boys.
Yep, I think we're all with you on this one. A very important part of the community, your local.
Massively. It's a massive part of the community, you know, to socialise and get out. And, you know, it's important that we support our local pub. You know, this campaign, Here's to the Pub, has been launched by the UK's largest pub company. And they've actually given away a free drink, free drink per week.
Nice.
For the month of October. All you've got to do is Google Great British Pubs. Go on there, you can see how you can claim your free drink and what pubs are doing it. And it's just to help people to get out and support the local pub, because it's a massive part of the community.
Yeah, and as I say, more than ever, because they are losing that extra hour or so, aren't they, every night?
Not only that, mate, they're having to spend more money to stay within these government guidelines. They're having to put more tables in, get more staff in, and all that's costing money. They've lost an hour of trade, so it's important that we get behind them, because if we lose our pub, there's a lot of people who won't have anywhere to go and socialise, especially the older generation, who probably that's the only social outlet they get.
Mm.
I think it's really important. The pubs need the community, and the community needs the pubs.
Definitely. I was in a lovely pub last week in Bath, and it was impressive, the track and trace and all the steps that they'd taken. So they're really trying hard, aren't they?
They are trying hard, and it's hard for them. And I think we all realise you never know what you've got until it's gone. Lockdown, when we didn't have any social outlet, you know, it was driving us mad. You know, some men, women, whatever it might be, if something's getting you down, the house is getting you a bit, you know, it's closing in on you a bit, you go to the pub and you talk nonsense, or you watch a bit of football, or you play darts, or you talk about your problems, you know, and it's great for mental health, that sort of thing. We need to socialise, and these places, these local pubs, are a place where we can go and do that.
Even before the virus, Will, it was a bit sobering at times, wasn't it, if that's the right word, to drive around areas that you knew quite well maybe in the past and see a pub that you knew and used to go in all boarded up and thinking, oh no, that's terrible. But it was happening a lot, wasn't it? We saw a lot of independent pubs going to the wall.
I know, it's sad, mate. I think the smoking ban killed a lot of them off as well, and that was really sad, because especially the older generation, who's going to want to stand outside in the freezing cold to have a cigarette, you know? And I think a lot of the pubs, a lot of people just thought, well, I can't be bothered, you know, and that killed a lot of the pubs. And I think we need to try and keep as many open as we can. And as I said, it's a massive part of the community, and it's a great place to go and be social. And I think mental health on the rise, like it is, we need to keep these social places open.
How have Manchester United been for your mental health recently?
Absolute rubbish, I'll tell you, driving the crackers. Absolute rubbish, honestly, it's terrible. I think the pre-season killed us. You know, we don't look match fit at all. We look a yard off, the press is terrible. Pogba's a waste of his shirt. He's driving me crackers.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
Danny Murphy on Monday was saying, and talking about Fernandes and Pogba, and I think he couldn't quite see that as a combo. Is it not working for you either?
No, not working for me. It's not that. It's Pogba. What's he doing? He comes and stands in front of the back four, gets it, tiptoes around and loses the ball. I just think if you're going to, if you want to, we've got a defensive midfielder in Matic on the pitch, or you know, and then push up the pitch, go and play midfield, centre midfield. We don't need you getting the ball off our back four. I mean, don't talk about me back two, the two centre halves. My God, I mean, we just need. I hope if we can get Bailly fit, I think he could be a decent fit in there alongside Maguire or Lindelof. But the pair of them, I mean, if you look at the pairings that United had over the years with Rio and Vidic, you know, and Pallister and Bruce, someone had pace. One of them had pace. These, none of these two have got pace. And now it's a blueprint of how to beat us. Just running behind. We can't do anything. We just give penalties away. It's terrible.
No, it's a very good point about that. I feel that about Chelsea. You've got, if you're going to play Thiago Silva, you've got to have somebody with a lot of pace.
Have legs around them, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Chelsea and United are struggling probably for similar reasons. And I think probably Mr. M. Pochettino standing on the sidelines waiting to see, oh, which one will I
which
get?
Which pick of the jobs he fancies.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, though, because the way Ed Wood was doing business in these transfer windows is terrible. I mean, we used to get business done. And we don't get business done. And now look at us scrambling again now for pickings. And they wonder why people put the price up. It's because we know we're desperate. We're struggling. I mean, we're trying to get Sancho deal done. I think he's well overpriced. But that's going to happen. And now they talk about this Dembele coming in on loan. I think we've got to try and free Greenwood up and get him through the middle with Martial, because I think there'll be more goals there. And the way we do that is we bring in a Sancho or a Dembele. But, you know, it's tough at the moment. And we look like we lacked pre-season. We do look like we're about three or four games behind everyone else at the moment. I know we're only a couple of games in, but we're a yard off. Brighton was so unlucky not to win that game. We didn't deserve anything out of it, I don't think. Not bad going forward, United. We can hurt you, but we are going to concede goals.
Be interesting to see what sort of team he picks tonight. I think he'll pick
a
strong...
He made a lot of changes last week, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he'll pick a stronger team, though.
I'd like to see Bailly start, because I want to get him match fit, because I think he could be... whether it's a full-time answer, but a temporary answer, to be alongside Maguire or Lindelof, whichever way you want to go, because he has got pace. He can be a bit rash at times, but he has got pace. And I think the pair with Lindelof and Maguire, as I say, people will be licking their lips to play against him. You know what I mean? It's Townsend tore us apart, you know what I mean, in the first game of the season. It's just, you know, it's sad to see. But it's hopefully it wakes the board up and go, we've got to go and buy, because we haven't got anyone on the bench who's going to come in and change this. And Pogba is a waste of a shirt. I don't know what he does for us. I've seen what he does for other clubs, but what he does for us, getting the ball off our back foot, I don't know what he's doing there.
What have you made of Van der Beek so far?
I think he looks great. He gets in pockets. He seems to be wanting to keep on the move. He's hard to mark. I don't know why Solskjaer only played him for 3 minutes. I don't see the point in that. I think the problem he's got is a headache. Is do you pick him or Fernandes? I don't know whether he sees him as playing the pair of them together. I'd like to see it because they are quite similar. I think Van der Beek has got a bit more movement in him, as in he goes and finds pockets on the edge of the box. I think he's got more goals for him, and Fernandes likes to spray a pass. But I think it's a great signing. It just worries me that at the moment he's picking Pogba, thinking that, well, I can't play Van der Beek and Fernandes.
Yeah.
So Pogba seems to have his position, which is so frustrating to watch, because even when he loses the ball, he gives a foul away. He seems to have tiptoeing around. It just bores me. It really does. He should be grabbing this team and lifting them up. He's an experienced pro who's been everywhere, and he looks like he can't be bothered. He's collecting his paycheck, and it's winding me up.
Good stuff, Will. Lovely to talk to you as always. Keep your chin up. Thanks very much. All the best.
About the passion, I can't help it.
No, it's not. We love it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The big breaking news was they ran out of mint tea in the kitchen
yeah,
here at TalkSport.
Vital, isn't it? Yeah.
So I decided, I'm quite partial to a mint tea.
Yeah.
So I thought what I would do was, as a tribute to the great Jack Russell, the former England wicketkeeper, who could make one tea bag last for a whole test match.
Yeah.
I've gone for the same tea bag for three cups of tea. It's from the good people at Pucker. It's their three mint tea.
They won't like the fact that you're using it three times.
Well, I know from that they would say, well, what do you expect? And they'd be right too, because I should be using a fresh one, but I've got no choice. So I'm now into the third tea bag with the third cup of tea with the one tea bag, Andy. I'm just going to go in. Here we go. So, okay. It's basically now like I'm trying to shift a boiled sweet I've swallowed.
You know, it's just boiled water.
It's just,
it's slightly bitter boiled water.
It's fragrant. There's a kind of a hint of mint but there's not a lot of mint in it, so it's basically boiled water.
Mint.
So I do apologise, I'm not using their product properly. Anyway, this is what Jose's just said, head of the Maccabi Haifa game tomorrow night. Yeah. He's on Dele Alli. Jose says, I cannot confirm if he's playing or not tomorrow. The only thing I can say is that he is being very professional. Even yesterday, when not in the squad, he trained very hard and he has the respect of his teammates and me. Which sounds very much like the player has said, Gaffer, I've got to be playing. I want to go out on loan or I want to go. Or the club have said he's not playing. Otherwise it would say, well, of course he's playing tomorrow. I've been resting him for Thursday. It's a big European game. If he's not picked for three squads, then there is something going on.
Especially prior to the transfer window. Yeah. And also from his point of view, he wants to get back in the England setup and he's not going to do that not playing. So, but it's where they send him. I can't see them sending him to another Premier League club because generally you shouldn't do that if you can avoid it.
They're still,
Chelsea, who seem to enjoy making other teams stronger. So, he's probably going to end up sort of PSG, I would imagine.
There is still a very good player there. But he doesn't justify a first team start at the moment. I don't know if I'm an outlier with Tottenham fans.
No, because he's not. From watching the documentary and seeing the way Spurs have played this season and the way they played post lockdown, he's demanding a different thing from the players, and he just doesn't get that from Dele Alli. So he doesn't fit in my view. Still a good player.
I think he needs to go back to basics a little bit, though. I mean, Dele has become, as I said, all the things that used to come off don't come off. So it's a lot of donkey kicks and round the corner, no look passes and
doesn't work
back heels. Get your confidence up.
That's
what
you need.
Do what you're good at.
Yeah, it's all right if you've scored a couple of goals and they start doing that sort of thing.
But they weren't coming off. But anyway, I wish him well because he's been great for us, and I'd like to think it's not the last we've seen of him playing for Spurs, but that sounds at the moment like he won't be there after October the 5th.
I like this story, though, and this could be the future of sport. And this is from the world of curling. They've come up with a computer called Curly.
Yeah,
that's basically
good name.
Plays curling.
Yeah,
curls, and he basically won 3 out of 4 matches against one of South Korea's top ranked sides.
And we know what giants of the world of curling they are. No, they are. They're very good at curling. Yeah. Well, then Mike Parry on rugby.
My curling knowledge is restricted to Rona Martin, of course.
Yes.
The great Olympic hero. But I went online and watched this, and it is incredible.
Yeah.
This thing is so good. Like, the human curlers need, like, people with the old...
They need brushes to slow it down.
Yeah, the brushes to slow it down. The computer one doesn't. He just flicks... Well, I say he. Could be a she.
It's called Curly. Could be anything.
And he's tremendous.
The way it works is they release the stone at exactly the right point, exactly the right pace, which means they don't need the brushes.
Yeah.
But the people who know about robotics, which is clearly not us... I mean, really, ideally, if you're looking for a robotics expert, you need a London black cab driver, really, to put you right on that. Don't get me started on robotics, girl. But, they'll tell you all about that.
Yes.
But they say that the brilliant thing about it, robotics experts are in awe because it's the amount of finesse you need when you're curling. And they think that's quite rare in this. You know, you can always get one to kick a football or hit a ball.
Can we get one in for the Ashes?
Or throw something. Well, that's often, but it's the finesse involved in the stone, which robotics experts believe.
It has the same motion as a human curler. It's
it's brilliantly done.
Yeah.
No brushes needed. It's going to put people in the brush industry out of work. It would be terrible, wouldn't it? There'll be no broom sold in Scotland once they get one.
There you go. And 235 people have complained to Ofcom.
What about this show?
That's more than 235. Have complained about.
Even I've complained about it.
I have as well.
Honestly, it's that bad. I've been writing letters for years.
They've complained about Amanda Holden's dress.
Have they really?
Yeah, that it was too revealing.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, you think, take a long, hard look at yourself. All the problems in the world. And the thing you're worried about is Amanda Holden's cleavage, really. I think you've got a problem, really. I mean, honestly,
Amanda Holden's cleavage, latest edition.
It's a great
interview with Simon Cowell.
It's true.
Oh, I've got a bit of housekeeping for you. You weren't here on Monday. Me and Charlie, we spoke to the guys at Bonhams. They had a big sports auction.
Yes.
Andy, were you aware of this?
The cup, wasn't it?
They were selling a couple of things we discussed. They were selling the oldest FA Cup trophy, which was awarded to the winners between 1896 and 1910. They said it could go between £900,000 and £1 million. But in these straightened times, it went for just 620,000. And we were trying to get actor and Liverpool fan David Morrissey interested in the LFC1 number plate.
That's a good number plate. If you support the team.
And which had gone up in price since, of course, the team won the title last year. And they thought that could go for 200 grand. And I looked up the Bonhams website. It actually went for a pretty tidy £125,062.
Yeah.
So LFC
one of the papers said 100 grand. No, the facts get in the way.
No, 125 okay. and 60. That could be including the premium. I don't know if that's Bonhams' cut. I don't think they take that much. Surely even football agents don't take that much. But anyway, a little bit of housekeeping. That's 125
grand. Joining us now, Keir Bonham on the lane.
Oh, Andy. Oh, not at all. Oh yes, now shirt sales apparently in lockdown and since the return are down. Martin Lipton tells us in his column that the good people at lovethesales.com, they had a bit of a looked into this, had a survey, said 63% fall in new replica kits.
I'm not surprised. I mean,
because I was saying to you though, how many people who wear the replica shirts generally and buy them are actually going to the games? Do you think a much higher percentage than not?
Yeah? Well, I think if you look around, especially behind the goal, you'll see most people are wearing a shirt. You know, all right, certain people don't wear them, but I think a lot of people do. And also people who go to the pubs to watch football. They wear the shirt.
Yeah.
But you're not going to put the shirt on. I occasionally do, like, for
put example, it on at home one round?
Well, the second half, I thought.
Did you put it on last night, the second half?
I didn't, actually.
Well, that's what went wrong.
Well, we were winning.
That's
I should have put it on for the penalty shootout.
You should have done, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 1. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you soon.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.